Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're right on. You're right on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Healed, healed, healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Healed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the Holy Ghost. Kolamre, the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Poured out in your heart. Greater and greater, greater than the pain and the disappointment. Hallelujah. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Healed, healed, healed. Not torn up, not torn apart, but healed. Hallelujah. He's binding up your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Just receive that in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Robopo rebeshenkere. Strengthened. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Healed. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Healed by the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Every whit whole. Completely whole. Shalom. Peace. To your heart and to your life. In the name of Jesus. Shalom, peace. Hallelujah. The calming of the storm forever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord has heard every prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the answers are coming in His time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, healed right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fresh touch. Love of God shed abroad in your heart right now by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Healed. I rebuke the lie of the devil in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was not your fault. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Healed, healed, healed in Jesus' name. Touched by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Healed right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every whit whole, totally whole on the inside. In the name of Jesus, healed. The touch of the Holy Ghost on you and in you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. The grace of God, Jesus, by the grace of God, just takes in all of that hurt and pain. That whole situation, He just takes that in and takes it from you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus wants that from you because He wants you. Hallelujah. Jesus wants that from you because He wants you. Open up your heart all the way and leave it all the way open in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Healed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. fresh touch of the Spirit of God. Restored, 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 spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Relationships restored in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Healed right now in Jesus' name. Never the same. Thank you, Lord. Healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's touching your heart right now in Jesus' name. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every work God does in your heart of healing, life, just receive it, shut the door on it, never go back in the area of thoughts or unforgiveness and pondering over things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, healed. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing better than you think you are. Thank you, Lord. Healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. By the Holy Ghost, you are healed right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and made whole in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, made whole by the Holy Ghost, the oil of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm about to get in the Word in just a minute or two, but just receive from the Holy Spirit. Receive from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that what you are doing is working. What you are doing is working. Now, obviously, that goes with the condition that your heart is right before God. But what you are doing is working. What you are doing is producing the desired result. What you are doing is producing major results. And this is a word, I believe, for everybody in here from the front to the back. What you are doing is working. You may have been thinking that it's not. You may have been thinking, well, I don't see the results in the natural. I don't see the fruit in the natural that I should be seeing. But the word says that first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So there's a development of the work of God in your life. And what you are doing is working, praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And verse 29, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is ripe. So there is a time from the time seed is sown until the harvest is ripe. So your work is not always going to be the same. Your work in the kingdom of God is not always going to be the same. That's why there are waves of revival. That's why Azusa Street came in the early 1900s. And in the 1950s, the healing revival came. And then God brings waves of revival. Because there is seed time and harvest that takes place. That seed time and harvest governs and maintains everything in the kingdom of God. The moment you received a word from God, the moment pastor gave you a word, the moment pastor laid hands on you, or the moment you were in prayer and God gave you a word, or the moment pastor was up there on a Sunday morning preaching away, and I've had this happen so many times when pastor was just up there preaching the word, and it's almost like he had a sidestep there, and it was straight for David King. I mean, nobody else in the whole sanctuary knew what that was about, but I knew what it was about. And it was such a right-on word, you know? That's what a pastor, which is our pastor, that is anointed in the office of a pastor will do and can do and is called to do. Which, by the way, is why it's so important that every sheep have a shepherd. And Jeremiah says, I will give unto you a shepherd. Everybody needs to have a shepherd that can get close to them, that can encourage you when you're weak, that it can encourage you when you're discouraged, and that can correct you when you're on the wrong track. You know, a shepherd can't do that through a TV screen. A shepherd can't do that through a projector screen. So we need to have a shepherd. Because a shepherd is called and anointed to pastor and oversee and watch over your soul where nobody else can. Nobody else can do it. It's impossible. Nobody else has the anointing to see things in your life and to see what you need like Pastor Bob Nichols does. Well, you see Christians, well, I'm a Christian and I'm saved, but I don't believe in church. Well, you'll go to heaven that way, but you definitely won't see God's best. And that's definitely not God's will for anybody's life to be at a church because they don't believe in church. So you need to have a shepherd. But, the moment you hear a word from God in your prayer closet or from pastor or from any minister, the moment that word is received, there's something that takes place in your heart and that thing is birthed into life. And it could be 5 days. It could be 5 months. It could be 50 years before that word actually manifests in the realm of the natural. But I'm telling you that as long as your heart is right, what you are doing with that word is working and it is taking place. Hallelujah. You may not be able to see it in the realm of the natural, but it is there as sure as I'm standing here preaching to you. That word is growing on the inside of you, praise God. It's just like when somebody is born, we know as people that are pro-life and not pro-choice, we know that life begins at conception and not at birth. But we need to have the same understanding when it comes to the things of God and know that life and success and blessing begins when you receive the word. There's a conception that takes place in your heart when you receive the word into your heart. And that begins to grow and bring forth life right then and there. You know, it may have been 1992 when you received that word and it didn't happen until 2012. But that's a long time, but it was living and growing on the inside of you back in 1992. even though it didn't show up in the natural until 2012. It was alive and growing the whole time. So I'm here to tell you that the devil is a liar, and what God spoke to you is true. It is coming to pass, and it is already coming to pass. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you talk about revival filling this house, you know, you cram in, you pull out these walls, put 3,000 people. I don't know, somewhere around three. If you were to blow out all these walls, and I'm not casting vision tonight. I'm just giving you an example. But I want to see this kind of thing take place. And see, you talk about revival filling this house like that, and one service is totally filled, and we have to go to multiple services, praise God. And you think, well, David, that's outlandish for you to say something like that. No, it is not outlandish one bit. We have led over 93,000 people to the Lord personally in this city over the last 3 years. We have got major, major seed in the ground, and that is only the last 3 years. I mean, just 10% of that would be 9,000 people. That would fill this place three times over on a Sunday morning. In our current state, the way it's laid out, I don't know, that might be five or six times over without adding chairs. But, you know, that's the harvest that God has for us. The seed that God plants, when God speaks that into the hearts of people, when God speaks that into the heart of pastor for revival over the last 50 years, and you hear the word, prophetic word from God when he's talking about revival, and then you come the next Sunday morning and you don't see the place jam-packed, I want you to know that doesn't mean that it hasn't taken place. That doesn't mean that there is nothing happening. It is taking place, and you are seeing success because the seed of the Word of God is growing on the inside of your heart. Praise God. It's spiritual growth. So the seed is sown into the soil, and the man that sowed the seed doesn't know how it grows, but it says that he cast seed into the ground. I like the way this says this in the King James. Let's read this again. And he said in verse 26, "And so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground." That gives the idea that he did it on purpose. I mean, that he did it with intention and he was serious about this. So I want to tell you right now that you have to, by faith, open up your heart and receive the word. It doesn't happen through osmosis. It doesn't happen through just kind of being in a garage doesn't make you a car. And so being here in the church during a service doesn't mean that you're necessarily receiving what God has. But the man cast seed into the ground. So this was something that was done on purpose. So you have to receive the word into your heart on purpose. It's an act of faith. I'm telling you, in the healing ministry with physical healings, that there can be, I've had times when the power of God's on my left hand so strong that it almost hurt. Not quite. Because the anointing's not going to hurt you, but it almost felt like it was about to hurt. I'm like, this is amazing. You know, I'm just looking for somebody to lay hands on. Please, somebody, be sick here. Is there a blind person anywhere that I can lay this hand on? Because the power of God's here, and people get healed. But then the next person in the healing line doesn't receive anything, because it's not about tangible power, although that is a fruit of it. But it's about opening your heart and releasing your faith. You have to cast the seed into your heart. Hallelujah. You have to make a decision that when God speaks something to you that is for you, that you are opening your heart, receiving it, and you are changing your lifestyle from then on out. You can't live the same. Now, I'm not saying every time you get a word from God, you got to up and move and go to Maui. And, you know, there are people who live their life that way. But that area of your heart has to change. It's just like if you plant a seed in a garden out back, and if that garden's full of weeds, you don't just go throw a seed in the top of the weeds and walk off and think it's going to grow. You plow the garden. You pull out the weeds. You wall in that area of the garden so other weeds can't grow in. You got to do that with your heart just the same. You have to plant the seed of the Word of God into your heart when God is moving, and it'll begin to take place. So what you are doing is working. When the seed of the Word of God is received into your heart, you are instantly thrust over into the realm of the Spirit. I wish I had a lot more time to teach this tonight, but just trust me, it's there, it's right here in the Word. When you receive a word from God that instantly takes you over into the realm of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you literally go to heaven and you have an out-of-body experience. But that area of your heart, that area of your life begins to get nurtured by the Spirit of God. God's words are spirit and they are life. You cannot receive a word from God without that word having all of the spirit and all of the life it needs to bring itself to pass. Praise God. So when you receive the word from God, that's why people that get flaky are the people that got away from the word. That's why people that get flaky are people that got away from the word, because you cannot get more spiritual than you are in the word of God. You can't truly get more spiritual than you are in the word. If the spirit that you have is outside the parameters of the Word of God, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. But when you receive the Word in your heart, a growth, an explosion of the Spirit of God begins to take place, and that is growing on the inside. Now think about Joseph when he was in jail all of those years. God took a family of 12 that was small, inconspicuous, uninfluential in the world. And he goes into jail and he's held there for years and years. It's a horrible situation. But when he comes out, God has taken the family of 12 from being unknown people out on the backside of nowhere, insignificant people, to being the second highest family on planet Earth. What happened right there? There was no apparent growth in the realm of the natural in Joseph's life all of those years he was in jail. But the seed of the word, the dreams that he had, were growing in his heart that entire time. And what was taking place? The Spirit of God was growing. That area of Joseph's life, his entire life was catapulted into the realm of the Spirit by the word that he received into his heart. When you receive the word of God, you are thrust into the realm of the Spirit in that area so God can begin to grow and work on the inside of you. So what you are doing is working. I know that's a prophetic word for you tonight, because you've been thinking it's not working. It's not taking place. I received a word from God years ago and I haven't seen it manifest and I've been faithful. Well, no, that's a lie from the devil, because you received it into your heart. So the Spirit of God is working, and there's a growth of the Spirit of God. There's a working of the Holy Ghost on the inside of your heart in that area of your life. And it is growing. I'm here to tell you tonight that it is growing and it is working. What you're doing, you are on the right track. Hallelujah. And I wish that I could say that if you were to give $100, that I could prophesy over every one of you and make your dreams come to pass tonight. You know, if you want a BMW, then all of a sudden your little podunk car out in the parking lot turns into a BMW. You know, that's what a lot of preachers wanted, you know, say when they give prophetic words, and they get too far out there. I'm not here to tell you that's going to happen tonight in the realm of the natural, but I am telling you that it is happening in the realm of the Spirit in your life. Growth in the Spirit is more important than growth in the natural. Now, to couple that, growth in the natural is important, because I remember Pastor saying this years ago, that sooner or later, your faith has to bring manifestation. So growth in the natural is important. But growth in the Spirit is more important. So I'm going to tell you this. You can't truly have growth in the realm of the Spirit without having growth in the realm of the natural. It's an impossibility. You can't truly have growth in the realm of the Spirit without having growth in the realm of the natural. And they say, David, well, I've been believing God for this for 10 years. I haven't seen it in the realm of the natural. Well, wait a minute. What has been going on in your heart since you have been harboring that word and protecting that word? When other people in your family spoke against you and said it's never going to happen, you guarded that word in your heart. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. You have been hiding and guarding God's word in your heart all of these years. And I'm telling you right now that as you have done that, you have been growing. The work that God has been doing in your heart, which when you study Mark 4, that is the soil. the scripture we just read, the heart is the soil and the seed is the word of God. So when that seed is sown into the soil, that's sown into your heart, and God has been working in your heart and in your life. And just take a look back over the last 5 to 10, 15, 20 years. Those of you who have been believing God for something for a long time personally and believing God for revival here at this church and in this city and in this nation, take a look back at all the growth that you have seen as you have been holding on to that word. I'm telling you that, yes, there has been growth in the natural all of this time. Hallelujah. You have been growing and you've been getting spiritually mature. You have learned how to stand the test of time. You have learned how to not be dissuaded. You have learned patience. Hallelujah. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So you have been growing. Because God has to work in you before He can work through you. The root has to grow before the fruit grows. So just because it's growing underneath the surface, the ground level, doesn't mean there's not growth. It has been growing underneath the surface level. It's been growing in your heart. And you have been growing. You have been maturing. You have been getting stronger. To say it this way, you were bench pressing 50 pounds. You couldn't even press the 45-pound bar when you started. Now you're up to 350. You're just doing that to 2 sets of 10. You know, bench and press 350, 400 pounds. You're getting stronger. You're getting stronger. It is producing results in the realm of the natural. But at the same time, I'm here to tell you that the desired result is on its way. If you have not seen it manifest, it is on its way. Hallelujah. It cannot be stopped. As long as your heart is kept right, the results that God has for you, the harvest that God has for you, cannot be stopped, praise God. The devil cannot stop it. There's no kingdom in this world. There's no politics, no measure of politics or attack or a demonic attack in this world that can come against you that could ever stop the harvest that God has for you. As long as your heart is kept right, praise God. Because what you are doing is working, hallelujah. It is manifesting. You're growing spiritually and you're growing naturally in this. Hallelujah. So there's seed and there's time and there's harvest. This man cast seed in the ground and he went forth. Let's read. I want you to see this again and start in verse 26 again. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. So there's time here going by. God knows what needs to take place in our hearts before that bunker giant harvest manifests. Because God's not interested in bringing forth a harvest that's going to rot on the vine. You know, because our combine had a broken down engine and we couldn't go and harvest. God knows, well, we got to fix the combine. Well, God knows that, well, there's something in our heart that needs to change. Something in David's heart that needs to be strengthened and made right. This area has got to change, David. You got to fix that over here. I know you want to see 10,000 people. I know you want to see, you know, the city shaking and the nation shaking. But David, you got to get this right. Well, David, you got to grow in this area. You're not ready for it. This is a 650-pound bench press job. You can only bench press 350. If you try to do this, David's going to kill you. So you got to keep working out. You need more time. Only God knows. That's why it takes time. That's why you go forth night and day. This farmer was faithful. He wasn't out there complaining. You know how many people complained during that time? How many in this room, if this was your story, would read just like this? And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should go cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day complaining that the seed, which has not sprung up yet, and he doesn't know what's going on. How many of us can say, well, David, that was me. I know it's been me. Hopefully I've repented of all of that. But complaining, you know, I just want to read that again just so let's just drive it home here. I think that was pretty good. And should sleep and rise night and day and complaining that the seed has not sprung forth and grown up because he doesn't know what's going on. How many of us, if we were to really tell our story, that's what it might be? Well, complaining. Well, this and that. Da, 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 da. No, he was working. Now, if you've been complaining, then you and I have been in the same boat. Just repent. Keep moving forward. Praise God. It's okay. A righteous man falls down 7 but gets up. You know, it never says a righteous man never falls. But he keeps getting up in repentance and holiness and keeps moving. Praise God. Keeps coming back to church. He finds reasons to come to church. Doesn't find reasons to get out of church. Hallelujah. That's a righteous man for you right there. Hallelujah. Finds reasons to come to the house of God. I'm going to tell you right now, I was preaching this in Bible college a few weeks ago, but we cannot fully fulfill the will of God in our lives without the fellowship of the local church that God has planted us into, because God has gifts and callings and anointings in other people, particularly pastor and leadership here, that he's got to have to pour into your life. And if you are not in the house of God, or if you're in the wrong house, it's not going to work quite perfect either. God's merciful and gracious. He loves you, and he'll do everything he can. But he's put the gifts and callings for you to fulfill the call of God in your life here in this house. Hallelujah. So that's what a righteous man does when he rises night and day, being faithful over that seed. So it takes time. I just want to talk to you about that for a second. There's a time and a season for the plan of God to be fulfilled. I don't know what that is, and you don't know what that is necessarily. You know, few and far between are the prophetic words that I've ever heard that had a time date on them that actually were fulfilled in that time. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've heard a few of them, but most prophetic words of anybody that I've ever heard given that had a time date on them, I kept a note, and I would watch and notice, no, that time came and went, and it didn't happen. But it did come to pass, just not when they prophesied about that particular time. God knows the time. God knows the timing that's got to take place. So there is a time that has to, there is a seasoning. There is seasoning that has to take place. Now, when I was in eighth grade, my good friend, probably my best friend, was Kelvin. And he went on to play for the Dallas Cowboys. And he was like 6'1" in eighth grade. I don't know how much he could bench press. He didn't work out at all. Actually, I remember in PE, we were doing push-ups. And he had the most ridiculous push-up you've ever seen. I mean, he would cheat, and we just laughed at him. And the coaches would let him do it because he had this big old stomach, so he didn't have to go down all the way on his push-ups in PE. But several years later, playing for the Dallas Cowboys, he was bench pressing 650 pounds. You know what? He needed some seasoning. He couldn't have played for the Dallas Cowboys in eighth grade when he had this gut that could touch the ground without doing a push-up. You know, he'd just be up on his arms like that and go down 2 inches and his stomach touched the ground. Kelvin, if you're watching this, I'm just joking around. He and I were jokesters, like, in eighth grade. We went anyway. So, moving right along. I wasn't always a star student, but praise God. He needed some seasoning before he could be, when you're doing a push-up like that in eighth grade, you can't go up and face people in the NFL and be a right guard for the Dallas Cowboys and go to the Chargers and block for LT. You can't do that kind of thing when you can't even do a push-up. Well, I got a prophetic. I know I'm going to the NFL. I got a prophetic word. Well, you need some seasoning. Your prophetic word alone is not enough. Yeah, pathetic word. That's what it's going to be. Your prophetic word is going to become a pathetic word if you don't let God's seasoning take place in your life. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's another one-liner from Pastor. We got to rewrite the book and do 102 one-liners now. So, you need some seasoning. You know, you'll just get run over. You're trying to do a push-up like that in an NFL, and you try to block somebody. That defensive lineman's going to run you over and go break the quarterback's collarbone. So we know what that's all about here in Dallas. So you need some seasoning. God knows what the seasoning is. God knows what the time frame is. So we can't get out of shape because we haven't seen the full fruition in the realm of the natural that we want to see, that we know is going to come take place. Although the full fruition may not have taken place in your life, it's on the way, and there is growth taking place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's working in the spirit realm. Let me read you these points here. Your heart is the door to the spirit realm. You open up your heart to God and you step over into the realm of the Spirit. If your heart is right, then what you're doing is working. What works and grows in the spirit realm will soon manifest in the natural, and it can't be stopped. Seed in the ground of your heart is seed in the Spirit. You have to cast it into your heart. Nobody else can do that for you. Thank you, Jesus. Look, this miracle power can be all around you, but it won't touch you if you don't open your heart. Miracle power can be all around you, but it won't touch you if you don't open your heart. Because your heart is the door to the realm of the Spirit, to the Spirit of God. Your heart is the door to the Spirit of God. So miracle power, the anointing can be all around, and you won't receive unless you open your heart. Spiritual growth is the growth of the Spirit of God in your heart. This is really good right here. You are never more spiritually mature than the 24/7 level that the Holy Ghost is honored in your heart. You are never more spiritually mature than the 24, and when I say 24/7, I'm talking about all day, all night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People want to be spiritually mature because they can come to church and prophesy. And you know what? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So there can be somebody come to church and prophesy, and it be right on, and people shout and praise God, and then they go home, and throughout the week, they don't know what bed to sleep in. And I'm not exaggerating. So that's not spiritual maturity, because spiritual maturity, your spiritual maturity never exceeds the level that the Holy Ghost is honored in your heart every day, all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You want to know what your spiritual maturity is? That's your spiritual maturity. If what you have is going to last, it's going to be because you're spiritually mature and you're honoring God all the time. It's day in and day out. Hallelujah. That'll help you avoid working and getting in deals with the wrong people. Well, I think this person, you know, I've only known them a day, but I know we're going to get married because they prophesied. Well, no, there's a whole lot more to it than that. I'm sure maybe they're a great person. But there's a whole lot more to spiritual maturity than getting a prophetic word and giving a prophetic word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Knowing you have a pure heart is more important than knowing how the seed is growing. I'm going to talk about that for just a second. Knowing that you have a pure heart, you need to know that your heart is right before God. That's more important than knowing how the seed is growing. Because you won't know how God is doing what He is doing in your life. Your job is to have a pure heart before God. That's why I've said before, the greatest guarantee of the will of God for your life is a humble heart before God. Keep your heart humble before God and let God work in your heart, because you don't know everything that He is doing. So when your heart's humble before Him and your heart's pure, know that your heart is pure. Know that there is nothing between you and Jesus. I'm telling you, you got to have a fear of God that anything would come out of your mouth in the form of strife or against other people and begin to spread. I'm telling you, there's got to be a fear of God, because you know if something gets out and if there's something in your heart that's not right, it's going to block the will of God for your life. And I'm telling you right now, nobody on planet Earth should be able to offend you bad enough that you could ever justify strife or offense or bitterness in your heart, because it will make you forfeit the will of God. There is never a level when we are justified to speak condemnation and judgment and criticism and strife against anybody else publicly. You just never get to that place. You just never get to that place. And that's where so many people have missed it over the years. I think, you know, they inwardly had a threshold on a scale of 1 to 10. If things were okay up to level 8, praise God, I'm walking in forgiveness. Bless God, I'm holy, I'm sanctified, and I can forgive anything. But if it goes to an 8.5, oh my gosh, you better just unfriend him on Facebook, because here it comes. There never is a point. They asked Jesus that question, how many times a day do we need to forgive? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. And actually, that just means if it was more than that, it means you forgive everything. There can't be any ought in our heart. Any area that you have ought in your heart is an area where the will of God for you cannot develop. It's not worth it. Just let it go. Just let it go. And if you have to make a phone call, send an email, get a Starbucks gift card, and send it to the devil himself, named whoever, just to make sure you're walking in forgiveness, then you need to do that. But make sure there's no unforgiveness and nothing in your heart. You got to be more focused on knowing your heart is pure before God than knowing how God is working in your life and how He's going to bring it to pass. You got to be more focused on your heart and knowing that you're pure before God than knowing how God is bringing something to pass. Because you won't know everything. You prophesy in part, the Word says, and we know in part. So I'm telling you right now, everything in the will of God in your life, you're going to only know in part. You're going to have a prophetic word and know what it is, how you get there. God will give you a step at a time, but you're only going to know part of it. That's why I like to say faith begins where the will of God is known, but trust begins when the will of God is unknown. You don't know everything, so the parts you don't know everything about, you trust God for. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to make himself totally unknown to you. I'm not talking about that, but you know in part, but the parts you don't know that's unknown, trust. Trust. I don't know about you, but personally for me, those areas of trust where I didn't know were harder than the areas of faith where I did know. So keeping your heart pure in those areas where you don't know is more important than knowing what's going on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The condition of your heart, I'm going to do this and then we'll wrap up here in the next minute or two. The condition of your heart is the number one determining factor in the condition of your harvest. Amen. The condition of your heart is the number one determining factor in the condition of your harvest. Nobody on earth is worth missing your harvest for, so forgive them. And listen to this. In difficult situations with people, stay on the sowing side and not on the judging side. In difficult situations with people, stay on the sowing side and not on the judging side. Because things with people need to develop. It needs seasoning. And if you judge it too soon, then you're going to cripple something. You're going to abort the process. Stay on the sowing side when you don't know. Be very, very careful about judging in the natural outwardly to people. Now, that doesn't mean we don't preach the word. You know, there's this thing going around that, you know, we're not allowed to preach the word and tell people that homosexuality is sin. Or the heterosexual relationship outside of marriage is sin. You know, people don't want people to preach that anymore because you can't preach judgment. No, we can preach the word. We can preach the word because it's a light unto our path. Praise God. But I don't know if God's given anybody the authority to judge somebody else's life and pronounce and judge somebody else's heart and say this and that. You got to be real careful about that. So stay on the sowing side rather than the judging side in difficult situations with people. Well, James 2:13, mercy triumphs over judgment. The last thing that I want to tell you is your heart, as the word says there in Mark 4, brings forth fruit of itself. That's what it says, that the earth brings forth fruit of itself. If you read all of Mark, it's very, very clear. Jesus plainly says it. He says that the soil is the heart of man. He says the seed is the word, and it's sown into the heart of man. So the earth, when it says there, it's talking about the heart of man. It brings forth fruit of itself. Hallelujah. Let me see here. Fruit is judged by what you've done with the word God gave you and nothing else. You can't have a pure heart before God and receive anything less than what his word promised you. You're going to get it all. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll receive your harvest. If you want to make a note of this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. Even if God has to work a resurrection from the dead, you are going to receive your harvest. Hallelujah. God brings the increase. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, I watered, Apollos watered, but God brings the increase. So God is going to bring the increase in your life. Hallelujah. You don't have to know how to do it. So what you are doing is working. You are on the right path. And what you're doing is working. It's producing fruit. You're growing. Hallelujah. And you're going to see the full harvest that God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to people, healing broken hearts, and touching the lives of people. In Jesus' name, we praise you for that. Hallelujah. I want y'all to give Pastor a big hand as he comes. And hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Amen. Say it again.